Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big and blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
The suspect turned towards the officer. The officer perceived a threat and fired his duty weapon at the suspect, hitting him.
Well, this is the story we've been talking about for a couple days. A 14-year-old boy was killed by Tempe police. And there has been protests. The mother of the 14-year-old boy is pulling the race card. There's really a lot that has gone into this story. It's not as simple as a 14-year-old boy was shot. If you look at exactly what happened, this 14-year-old boy was in the middle of committing a felony. He had a gun. It was a fake gun, but the police didn't know that. The boy was waving it around as he ran away from police. And then the officer shot and killed the 14-year-old boy. The officer didn't know how old this boy was. The officer didn't know it was a fake gun. This kid was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing.
Right. But the mom is saying it's racist. Phoenix police are the worst. They treat us like criminals, and the mom is Latino. Joining us now is Taylor Kinnerup from the KTAR news team, who was at this Tempe police. They had a press conference at 3 o'clock. I thought it was interesting, Taylor, that the police chief was not going to answer any questions. Did they bring up the body cam footage that everybody wants to see, when it's going to be released, if it's going to be released? What did they say?
So keep it here with KTAR because I just came back with a physical CD of the body cam footage, which I've given to our tech people. So they're working on that. So we'll have that up on our website soon. This is, as Police Chief Moyer said, this is a rapidly evolving situation, and they're trying to give us as many facts as they can and trying to be as transparent as possible. I know the Valley has been dealing with officer-involved shootings as a whole, so I think they're just working at being transparent and being as transparent as possible. They're going to give us the 911 call. They blew up pictures to show us what the gun looked like. If you guys check out my Twitter, you can see a picture of the gun that they found, the replica gun, rather, that they found.
Yeah, it was a fake gun or an airsoft gun.
Yes, it was an airsoft gun. But they blew up a picture and it does look real. I mean, one of our other reporters saw the tweeted picture and said, hey, that looks like a real gun. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard to tell. It was a rapidly evolving situation and they're doing the best they can with what they have.
So it's an ongoing investigation, but did they say anything about the mom's allegations of racism, of they punish us all the time?
Let me read the mom's quote, yeah. Mac. The mom of the 14-year-old boy who died. I want you to know the worst racists exist in Phoenix, Arizona. They treat us like criminals. I want justice. I need justice.
Did they acknowledge the mom's claims or any of the family's desire to see the body cam footage, to see anything about their son? Because mom is basically saying, my son should not have died, and I feel for her, but he had an airsoft gun. He was eluding police. I think he waved the gun toward the police, and he was involved in trying to jack a car.
Let's not pass judgment on what he was doing with the gun. They saw a gun. There was a report of a gun, and it's, like, again, they said, a rapidly evolving situation. So they're not going to play it fast and loose. We've seen so many armed suspects around, specifically Phoenix police, but around Valley police officers. They can't take a risk like that. So we have to understand that. They didn't allude to anything about the mother's quotes. They did extend their condolences. I know you guys were earlier yesterday talking about how Hacienda had not had not apologized publicly. Tempe police are offering their condolences, and they're working with not just journalists but the public, and I believe they're trying to work with the family based off the emotions that the police chief was showing. They are working with family. They are trying to apologize for the situation because it was a tough situation regardless.
And you said you did bring back a copy of the body cam
and
footage.
They said they're going to release us the 911 tape as well of somebody calling to say there was suspicious activity. I believe truly they are trying to be as transparent as possible. They're giving us that information up front.
All right, Taylor Kinnerup from our KTAR news team, thank you so much with that live update. She was at the press conference earlier in Tempe where the Tempe police are giving out copies. They're not putting it out, I guess, for the public yet. But when we get it up on KTAR.com, we will certainly let you know. It'll be interesting to see. Does the body cam footage, and we say this all the time, when you go, it's one thing in real time. It's another thing to see it frame by frame by frame.
Well,
but from the beginning of 2019, we've dealt with four teenagers in and around the Valley shot.
Here's how I always look at these type of cases if it's a 14-year-old shot, if it's a 31-year-old shot, if it's a 70-year-old shot, if it's a police officer-involved shooting, here's how I do it. I give the cop the benefit of the doubt right out of the gate.
Until you don't have to, right.
Until you can't.
Right.
Because that's how I think that people should do it. But you know what? This is how I do it. I give the police officer, highly trained, doesn't want to shoot somebody, doesn't want to have to live with that. They would just want to go home at the end of the day. I give them the benefit of the doubt to start. So if we're going through a case like this, you've got an officer, okay, who understands that, okay, there is someone who's, what was it, trying to steal a car? Okay. He's responded to a suspicious vehicle call. And the teen was burglarizing a vehicle. So you don't know how old the person is. You don't know if they're packing heat. You don't know anything. You don't know what color they are. And I don't think it's fair that the mother, without seeing the body cam footage, is calling the police racist.
That's the part that really bothers me. I understand the mom's grief. I understand that she is angry. She is upset. She is sad. I get it.
Yeah.
But why are you saying this is the worst racism around? She's basically saying every cop in the Valley is racist, and then she includes all Hispanics, saying that they persecute us, they don't treat us correctly. That's just not accurate. I mean, it's just not wholly accurate, but I understand why she's angry and upset. I just don't like her just, you know, broad brushstrokes that everybody's racist.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you know.
Well, whose side are you on? I mean, I can be on the
right
mom's
now?
Side from grief, but again, the cops have a job to do. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Well, I'm on the side of the police officers right now because from what I understand, this officer's a decorated military veteran, 15 years on the force. I mean, he's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of experience.
But he also has to live with this.
Of course he does.
The rest of his life.
It's awful.
So again, I'm on the mom's side as far as the grief and the loss
too.
Of your son.
I am too.
But I don't know if somebody from the community has spoken to her or riled her up. It just seems so premature.
Let's go into that for a second.
It's so premature for this call of racism in this investigation.
I think you made a good point, maybe not even knowing it. Did someone... Listen, her grief, I don't understand it. I hope I never do. She has every right to be grieving. I mean, my goodness, it's a 14-year-old son. But did someone, and we've talked about this, did someone get to her and say, you know what, the only way you're going to get a fair shake here is if you do A, B, and C. You got to protest. Okay, the protest happened right in front of the Tempe Police
Nearly
Department.
Nearly 100 people along with the mom.
You got to say police are racist. You know, we there are people in the Valley that do this. That it's like they're not necessarily like chasing an ambulance, but as soon as someone is killed
by a police officer,
that activist will absolutely 100% be on the doorstep of the grieving family and feed them a bunch of BS. So, do I blame mom here? No, I feel bad for mom. You know, I think mom knows too. Why was my 14-year-old out with a fake gun breaking into a car? I mean, she can't be, you know, whose fault is that? It could be the family's fault. Who knows? But I don't think it's the cop's fault that this was taking place.
So far, the cop did what he had to do. I just hope this doesn't blow up into something that we have seen before where every cop is labeled either a racist
Ridiculous.
Or trigger happy
right.
or something like that.
We'll hear the 911 call. We will get our eyes on the body cam. All right. You're listening to the Big Four at 4. We start the 4 o'clock hour. The first 20 minutes, we bring you four big blockbuster stories. We're only through Big Story 1. Coming up in Big Story 2, a new accusation of abuse at Hacienda Healthcare. Oh, my goodness.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 2.
A patient recently came forward alleging that two staff members struck her in the face and arms multiple times over the past few months. This apparently came from a couple of social workers who interviewed the patient.
Yeah, and the patient is at, are you ready? Hacienda Healthcare.
No. Of course.
This is a different person than the woman in a vegetative state that was raped and gave birth last month. This is a new patient that is saying, you know what, I was injured. Now,
they were physically assaulted, not sexually.
Correct. Let's be very careful here. The patient was given a full and thorough medical examination. What did they find? They did not find any signs of injury or abuse. Okay? Also, the patient has a history of what they're saying is attention-seeking behavior. And they're also saying the staffers both have spotless records. But the employees have still been placed on administrative leave. I don't know what to think here. If I were to take a guess, did this happen the way that the patient said? It doesn't sound like that to me. It doesn't. But they have to investigate it. Everything that comes out of Hacienda,
oh, yeah.
I don't care what it is.
You have to take it seriously and you have to investigate and figure out. Because we talked about this before. Once you peel up that rock,
right,
and watch everything, you know, all the, you see all the dirt, the worms, the whatever, you've got to investigate all that. There is going to be other stuff coming out. I'm sure there's going to be other stuff coming out. Is this a legitimate claim?
Is this recent? That's the other thing.
It's the latest that we know.
The claim was reported on Thursday,
mm-hmm,
during a survey of Hacienda's facilities.
Correct.
By federal and state auditors.
Correct.
All right. So another claim.
Another claim.
The patient says it was yelled at and struck by a staff member.
And this is not to be confused with a 23-year-old woman in Florida that they have found in a comatose state who has been impregnated. That's a Florida situation that is not at the same facility.
Correct, and I believe she lost the baby. It is the Florida situation was similar, mm-hmm, to the woman in a vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Big Four at 4. We start the 4 o'clock hour with 4 big blockbuster stories.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 3.
Smugglers have burrowed beneath that wall. They've climbed over it. They've cut through it, even pulled it down in parts. And what Border Patrol says it needs most is a holistic barrier system that includes sensors on the ground and better camera systems to detect asylum seekers.
All right. So what is the best way to secure the border? Is it a wall? Well, the largest single group of migrants ever have tunneled under the border wall right here in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, it's 179 out of the record 376 people were children, by the way, including 30 who were unaccompanied minors. They didn't have any relation to anybody in that group. Now, what bothers me about this is that these are people who have gotten to the entry point, but then taken back. In other words, they have to wait their turn in Mexico. Mm. They got fed up with it. They tunneled through and then gave themselves up. So this is totally different than what we've heard before of people trying to elude the Border Patrol or trying to, you know, get through the desert and trying to disappear into communities. These are people that are saying, I'm not accepting what Donald Trump wants me to do. I'm coming underneath the border now.
Or what the United States laws have been for a long time. They didn't stop at a port of entry. They didn't stop a Border Patrol agent right before they came over. They snuck under.
Right.
And came over.
Right.
You're listening to the Big Four at 4. We bring you 4 big blockbuster stories right here in the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 4.
And it comes out to Booker, and he's going to shoot a 3. Suzanne!
We're starting to see the tide really turn in favor of it. There's certainly some people who aren't for it, and that's fine. We understand that. But I think as people have become educated about the realities of the building and the value it provides, the public opinion has shifted.
All right, that's the CEO of the Phoenix Suns, Jason Rowley. Public opinion, about a month ago, nobody wanted the Suns Arena to be, to give it a facelift. And now, after a bunch of town hall meetings, it seems that the poll has shifted.
Yeah.
That taxpayers are like, okay, I don't have to pay the money. It's really going to be people who are visiting Arizona that are going to pay the money in hotel taxes,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
But the main question comes down to, does an arena really provide an economic boost or an economic downturn to a city? And according to a West Virginia University study, they studied 13 new arenas and found out it makes no difference. It's not good or bad.
I think
it really doesn't make a difference to the actual city.
I think if you are going to ask Phoenix downtown bars and restaurants, how are your sales on off days for the Suns and when they play there? It's clearly has to be better. And those are small businesses. So that affects
the
economy.
That's true.
How about hotels?
That's true. But again, it's not a year-round proposition. It's the Suns' main play. It's the Suns' arena, right? and they have other things around it. Mm-hmm. But there are other things besides the Suns arena to go to that are in that downtown corridor.
I think the Suns, as bad as they are, playing in the arena, bring more people down there, more people spend money and stay down there and eat and drink.
Well, next week we'll find out what the city council does on January 23rd. That's when they're going to vote whether it goes through and they fund this deal.
You've been listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.